Again, good morning, everybody. We are glad that you are here. We're also glad for all those who are at camp to know him this week. Almost 100 of our church family are enjoying a great little weekend, and they're having so much fun. They left things here that they need for all of their excitement. And so I just got a message from Aubrey. If somebody from the staff can go and unlock his office because they forgot something that is very important and is going to be picked up. So if any of the staff members are listening to me today and can go up to his office and unlock it so that they can pick up the vital things needed for camp, please go and do so. Now, the vital things needed for camp, it could be, I don't know, a plunger. You never know about things that are important for camp, but they're going to need to. There's something that was left, and so they're going to need that. Hey, glad that again that you guys are all here. We are approaching mile marker number 4 on our journey toward Christ's likeness. We've already passed love, joy, and peace. And I want you to remember that these are attributes that signal that we are moving closer and closer to Christ. Paul calls these mile markers the fruit of the Spirit, and he says that they are the natural result of a God-centered life. It's not your fruit. It's the Spirit's fruit. Because your fruit and mine, when we're left to our own choices, well, that fruit produces sexual immorality and jealousy and outburst of anger and division and envy and drunkenness and all other kinds of sins like these, Paul says. It's our fruit. It's the result of a fallen existence. But the Spirit of God produces within us the character of God. And our life's destination, we've said, is not a place but a person where we are gradually being conformed to the image of Jesus day in and day out, where we're displaying then his love, his joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so this morning we're going to discuss an attribute of the Spirit's fruit that so many of us have lacking in our lives. Patience. Yeah, patience. In fact, some of you moms and dads might be running out of what little patience you possess right about now. Because normally, during this portion of our time together, all the kiddos from 3 years old to 10 years old go to our children's center for 45 minutes of kids' praise and we worship. And man, they have an awesome time. Our kids' praise and we worship volunteers, they do a fantastic job each week as they plan and they lead this incredible worship experience that is engaging and encouraging and entertaining. Today, however, our volunteers are getting the week off. So that means that we have a few extra little ones in our midst this morning. We even sent a message out earlier in the week saying, we will not be having kids' praise and we worship this week. And about 10 different families called in and said, we're not coming. You know, they're like, sorry. We all of a sudden have family members that we need to go check on. Meemaw is sick and we just have to go. But these little ones that are here, they're not used to sitting and still, and they're not used to having to listen to somebody like me talk and talk and talk, and because they're used to being able to move around and they're used to being able to get rid of some energy. In fact, probably right now they're looking at some of you moms and dads going, when is Mr. Chris going to finish? How much longer? And they're being told, be patient. Be patient. Yeah, right. You know, I mean, telling them to be patient is kind of like telling them to calculate Avogadro's number. That's 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd, by the way, for those of you that care. Telling a child to be patient is like telling President Trump to be quiet. Yeah. It's like telling the preacher to be quick. It just doesn't happen. Some things are just impossible for us. And that's why patience is a divine gift. It's a divine gift. But what exactly is it that we're receiving that is so divine? Well, the word translated patience in your Bible is from a compound Greek word that means long heat. It literally means it takes a long time for you to get hot. I know a crazy thought right now in the middle of June when the temperatures are spiking, but you've got to have a long fuse so that you don't blow up, so that you don't get overheated, so that you don't lash out, or so that you don't seek revenge, and so that you do not take control. And the Bible calls that patience. It's this understanding of patience that Tertullian described, listen to this, as exceedingly attractive in men and women of every age. In the year 204, not 2004, but 204, he actually wrote a dissertation about patience. And because apparently people were very creative in the year 204, he called it patience. And he said, in poverty, patience supplies consolation. Upon wealth, it imposes moderation. The sick it does not destroy, nor does it, for the man in health, prolong his life. For the man of faith, it is a source of delight. It attracts the heathen, recommends the slave to his master, the master to God. It adorns a woman, perfects a man. It is loved in a child, praised in a youth, and esteemed in the aged. He says it's exceedingly attractive. Now, I don't know how many of you first noticed your spouse because of their patience. I don't know how, when you looked at them and you were like, whoo, boy, that patience looks good on them. I don't know if you looked and went, when mama asked and said, why is it that you're thinking about stepping into marriage? You were like, she's just so patient. But Tertullian said, man, it's attractive on men and women, and it's good for people of all ages. So in a world filled with short fuses, patience looks good. So I'm praying for just a little bit of extra fruit on your pew this morning, moms and dads. In fact, if it's okay, actually, because I do want to try to help you out this morning, I've actually got some fruit for you and for your kids. So if you don't mind them, and if you don't mind yourself having a little snack, here's what I want you to do. Kiddos, I need you to come down front. Moms and dads, send those kids that normally go to Kids Praise and We Worship. I need you guys to run down here just a minute. Come here. Don't walk, run. Yep, come on, let's go. Don't turn around and see if anybody's coming with you. You just come. There we go. Don't even have to tell you where to get. Just go right up on the stage. That is awesome. Come on. Now, like I said, normally the kiddos head off and they spend a good 45 minutes praising God, and they are up and down and all around. And the moms and dads, whenever we do not have Kids Praise, we're like, do you know what we have to do when the kids are in the pews? And yes, I know. And so here we go. We're going to try to help you out, moms and dads. Kiddos, I've got something for you. I do. This is pretty awesome. I've got you some fruit, not of the Spirit, but this is fruit of Mott's, okay? This is fruit of Mott's. We've got assorted fruit gummies that are going to be right here. Mr. Chad's going to open them up. Miss Brittany's going to help me. But the first thing, last week, Mr. Chad was gone. Mr. Wesley was gone. The entire singing workmans were out of town on vacation. And so because of that, I had to lead worship last week. You guys didn't know this, right? You talked about it? Oh, I don't know what to hear what you talked about. But I didn't preach last week. Mr. Sean had the message, but I led worship last week. And something about being a worship leader, it kind of goes to your head. And you kind of like that feeling when the crowd is just with, you know, you just got them in the palm of your hand. And so I wanted to do that one more time, but I wanted to do it with you guys, all right? So since we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a Fruit of the Spirit song, all right? And I need you guys to help me with this. Now, I want to make sure you know, do you know the Peace Like a River song, right? Well, we got Peace Like a River, right? And then we're going to have what? Joy Like what? A Fountain, right? Now, this is a fountain, right? You got to do this. Yeah. And then you got to like, add like you're spitting water out your mouth. You know, like, hold your head up. I got joy. You got it right there. All right. And then we're going to have Love Like an Ocean, and we're going to be surfing, okay? Surfing, there you go. All right, awesome. Okay, you guys ready? All right, moms and dads, okay, feel free to sing along if you'd like to. Right, you've got room in the pews. You can do these things as well. I know some of you like to, we got some ADHD people out there. I know. Here we go. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul, not my shoe. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul, not my shoe. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. Joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy, be happy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul, not my shoe. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. Put them all together. I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. Yes, we did it. Woo! Great job, everybody. Now, because of that, since we're going to be talking about fruits of the Spirit today, everybody needs a little fruit in their life, right? So, here we go. You can have one too, Miss Brittany. Yeah, you get one. All right, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. Everybody, heads up. Do you know, Knox, that you just deflected fruit that was going? Look behind you. I mean, it was like you just denied the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, bam. Now, the preacher in me is kicking in. That's how Satan works in our life, right there. All right, if you want to know. But God just keeps on giving. Here we go. All right, stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. All right, once you get your fruit, you can head off. Be sure to share some with your moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas. Here we go. You can get one for your sister, sure. Don't you like the way kids make up family members when there's candy involved? That child, he's an only child. Oh, here we go. There you go. All right. Nobody else is like denying. Oh, here we go. Ready? Oh, you're surfing. I see you surfing. That is awesome. All right. You're welcome. All right, got a little more in the back. There you go. You guys are awesome. Thanks for hanging out with me today. And you need one for your sister too? All right, there we go. Good job. Two? You want two? Okay, there we go. Because you're gonna, look at that. She got yours. Okay, I'll give you one too. There we go. Here you go, guys. Y'all are awesome. Man, look how patient you are. Oh, did you leave your shoes? Oh, okay. Don't know if we had them. Okay. Patience is hard. And it doesn't matter if you are... By the way, here you go, Mr. There you go. I know you wanted some. No way. Want some? Marlon, you need some right there? You need some patience. Hey... You guys need some fruit over there. Oh, I did a bad job. Here, let me try again. There we go. So, patience is rough. Whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, it's hard when you're in big church and you're used to little church, and all of a sudden you come in here and things are a little bit different. Or you move to a new town, you start a new job, and all of a sudden the whole environment is different and you're trying to figure out how to manage. You're moving up from middle school into high school. You're going to college. You're graduating, and you're going out on your own for the first time. So many different areas where patience is involved. And God understands that it's not just here in settings like this where we all could use a little bit extra patience. And so in our Bibles, one of the New Testament writers, James, focuses us in on three special times when patience is needed. And the first one that he talks about, you're welcome to open up your Bibles to find the letter that James wrote is near the end of your New Testament. Go to the end of that particular letter in chapter 5. And you're going to see that James says, look, we need divine patience when circumstances are uncontrollable. In the last few years, if anything has come clear, I think, to us, is that there are so many things in life that are beyond our control. Viruses, lockdowns, supply chains, protests, riots, natural disasters, political elections, health scares. You cannot keep your thumb on everything. And so James uses a farmer as an example of when circumstances are just uncontrollable. And he says in verse 7 there in chapter 5, consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. He says they eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. And then he writes, you too, and he's writing to Christians, and he says, you too must be patient. If any of you have ever been involved in any type of farming before, you understand there is a lot of waiting. You wait to till, you wait to plant, you wait to prune. And with that job comes all these different factors that a farmer does not have control over. Rains and droughts and heat and cold, the economy and labor practices. And they deal with all kinds of things that they just have no control over. And look, I understand you don't have to be a farmer. And that's why I think James gives this example, because he understands, look, you don't have to be going out and planting seed to understand what it's like not to be able to control the circumstances of your life. But you've probably noticed that when situations are beyond your control, that you still try to control them. The most common way is by worrying, because we think that worrying can control a situation. If we can just worry about something long enough, if we can just worry about something hard enough, then things will change. And yet it's useless. To worry about something that you can change is just dumb. Just go ahead and change it. To worry about something you can't change is useless, like I said. So either way, we don't need to worry. Instead, James says that we need to have patience in uncontrollable circumstances. And we also need patience when people are unchangeable, when people won't change. So James gives the example of the prophets, and he says, for an example of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, we don't talk a lot about prophets anymore, but I want you to think about kind of what their duty was. They were all about trying to help people change, to bring them back to God. They were trying to encourage a difference in behavior. And when you read through your Bible, and when you see different times that prophets came on the scene, you also need to notice the response of the people. At best, well, they ignored the prophets. At worst, they tried to kill the prophets. Have you ever noticed that people are resistant to change? Just try being a preacher and suggest making any small changes, right? Or you're at work and you're trying to help things out. And you're like, this is going to make things more efficient. And we're going to move this desk from over here to over there. Or you understand it's hard because people resist you when you offer up change. Do you have anybody in your life right now that's refusing to change? Do you have anyone who is ignoring you? Do you have anyone trying to kill you? I hope not. But just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean there's no one out to get you, okay? Do you know what it's like to live with the kind of person who just refuses to change? They may never change. And then what are you going to do about it? Well, James says that you need to have patience. You need to have a long fuse. Patience as a parent. Patience as a spouse. Patience as a friend. James says that you need to have a long fuse when circumstances are uncontrollable and when people are unchangeable. And he also recommends not blowing your top when problems are unexplainable. The classic example he gives is in verse 11. And if you have a King James version, it might say that you have heard of Job's patience. Actually, James did not say patience there. He said, hupomone, one of my favorite words, hupomone. And it means patient endurance. It's the idea of patience in action, active patience. In other translations, it's often rendered as perseverance. Job played in a Super Bowl of suffering. He had everything going for him, and then he lost it all in just a two-day period. He went bankrupt. His children were murdered. He got an incurable, painful disease. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his finances. He was suffering mentally and physically and socially in every kind of way. Finally, his wife comes to him and says, "Just why don't you just curse God and just go ahead and die?" He had a great support system. The worst part, though, of Job's suffering was that he had absolutely no idea why it was all happening to him. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, God doesn't even talk to him and tell him why the things that are happening are happening. There was an apparent no reason for his misfortune. And look, you guys know that life is not fair and that a lot of things in life just do not make sense. And maybe we will never understand things on this side of heaven. Job didn't understand it all. In all of those unexplained problems, though, Job patiently persevered. And so James says, I don't want you to forget Job's active patience, because someday and at some time, you will have problems that you cannot figure out. And you might be good at figuring things out. I mean, you might be the one in your family that always steps in and says, why don't you let daddy handle that? Right? My grandmother would say, let your granny see to it. Maybe you're that person in your family that whenever something happens, you are the one that can figure it out. But there's coming a day, someday, sometime, when you are going to face something in your life that you cannot figure out. You're going to encounter circumstances that are uncontrollable. And you're going to live with people who are unchangeable. And when that someday comes, you're really going to need some patience. Not your patience. Your patience wears thin. Your patience wears out. You see, you need patience that comes from above, not patience that comes from within. You need patience that knows God is in control. That's the patience that you receive from the Holy Spirit. So James says, be patient. Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Three times in that passage there in chapter 5, James is going to say, hey, I want to remind you of something. Jesus is coming back. And he uses this promise as the ultimate proof that God is actually in control of this world. And the fact that nothing can stop God's plan. Did you know that the Bible talks more about Jesus' second coming, when he's going to come back and bring justice to this world, than it talks about his first coming? Friends, God is in control of history. And he has it planned out, and everything is on schedule, and nothing is late, and it's all moving toward a climax. God is in control. And God's purpose for your life is greater than any problem that you may be facing right now. And some of you are experiencing a real delay right now. And you're wondering when God is going to act, and if God is going to act. But God's delays never thwart his purpose, so be patient. Be patient and understand that God is working things out. James says, you've heard about Job's perseverance. And he says, and you've seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, he writes. See, God was working. During the time when Job was wondering what in the world was going on, God was working. And a delay does not mean a denial. A delay does not mean a denial. And so if you've been praying for an answer and you haven't gotten one, and you think that God just doesn't want to give it to you, understand, a delay is not a denial necessarily. God is at work, even when we do not see what's going on. You see, our hands might be tied and the situation may be uncontrollable, but it is not uncontrollable from God's viewpoint. And that's why we've said before that when we don't understand what God's hands are doing, we patiently trust his heart.
You see, patience that comes from the Spirit allows us to thank God in advance for working behind the scenes. Those of you that your kids came down here, have you started praying yet, thanking God for what He is going to do in their life when they go off to college? Have you already started thanking God for the spouse that He's going to bring into their life? Have you already begun to thank God for how He is going to take care of them when you no longer can? You see, patience that comes from the Spirit allows us to thank God in advance for working behind the scenes. James talked about that farmer. When the farmer plants the seed, he's waiting then on that seed, and he just waits and he waits. And all that time that he's waiting, God is working behind the scenes to cause that plant to sprout. He's creating the conditions so at the right time, in the right way, there will be a harvest. The farmer waits, and God works. And the Apostle Paul told Christians that God is at work within you. And he said that the work that God began in you, He will bring to completeness. He will finish that work in your life, he says. In Romans 8 and verse 28, Paul declared, and we know. He said, we know that in all things God is working. In every circumstance. In all things. All means all. That God is working. So be patient. Be patient with God. Be patient with God. I don't know what kind of problem you're going to have this week. But regardless of the problem that you're going to be going through, whether it's financial or relational or something to do with your health or some other area, I would love for you to be able to leave this place this morning with a confident hope that God is working in that problem. And that you'll be patient and not lose your cool with God, but trust Him. So where do you need God's patience this morning? Where do you need it most? Do you have an uncontrollable circumstance in your life right now? Maybe you're in a job situation and your boss has told you to do something that is just beyond your control and you just don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe you've had a financial reversal that was beyond your control, but the bills keep coming. And maybe you have a long-term illness, or maybe, I don't know, what is it? What is it that's just beyond your control? And you need the patience of God. Maybe you've got an unchangeable person in your life, and it's frustrating when you tell your kids to do something over and over again, but they don't do it. Or it's frustrating when you're trying to make your marriage work, but you don't think that your spouse is willing to change. It's frustrating when you have a parent who's growing old and their idiosyncrasies are coming out and they are dependent more and more on you. There's that difficult coworker that every time that they are around, they cause problems. And you're convinced they are never going to change. Maybe you need patience with unexplainable problems. There are so many questions that you have and so few answers. James says God is in control. That's his whole point there in chapter 5. That nothing is beyond His power. Nothing is beyond His purpose for our life. And that power and purpose is greater than the problems that we're currently experiencing. He talks about how that God will reward patience, if not in this life, in eternity, because God is working behind the scenes for a purpose. This past week, I've been reminded just how much of a divine gift patience actually is. See, I've been talking over the last few days with individuals whose lives are in silent chaos. Silent chaos. That's how one dear saint described her existence. See, the last 5 years have just been one setback after another, and well, now she's lost the ability to hear clearly. And it affects her job, and it affects her relationships. But she looked at me and she said, Chris, I want you to know I'm still the most blessed person in this world. Then there's the couple that they're caring for aging parents, and one is in the hospital and the other is in a memory care facility. And every day is another battle for healing and dignity and searching for sitters. Anybody in here ever had to go searching for sitters? You know what I'm talking about? That's what they're doing right now. But each day they get up and persevere, putting aside their own needs in order to honor their mouths and papa. And then there are the two ladies who this time last week were being carried to the emergency room because they both fell while attempting to come here to join us in our praise and sharing of God's goodness. One underwent hip surgery, the other, after multiple days of lying in the emergency room hallway, is now recovering from broken ribs at a local rehabilitation facility. And each one of these women endured their ordeal with dignity and grace and patience. And I can't forget the family who just recently said goodbye to their mother. They watched as a form of dementia slowly stole her away. But yet they cared for her and celebrated her to the end. Patiently. Silent chaos. Each of them. And each of them lost their patience with the circumstances and with the people and with God. They lost that patience a long, long time ago. Because they couldn't control their situation. And yet each of them displayed a patient countenance in our conversations. They understood that God is in control and that God is working. And friends, that kind of patience is not from within. It's from above. It's a divine gift given to all the weary travelers who center their lives on God. Could you use a little more patience in your life? Then would you join me in this prayer? Father, we just need your patience. So help us to wait expectantly, to prepare for the answer while we're waiting, to get ready for it, and to act as if it's actually going to happen. Help us to wait quietly and not grumble and complain about our frustrations. And Father, help us not to take it out on those around us, those that we love. Help us not displace our anger and be rude to those that are only trying to help. Father, help us to wait confidently, to be still and trust that you're working behind the scenes. Help us not to get nervous and anxious and worried. Heavenly Father, like the farmer, help us to plant good seeds and expect a harvest. Help us with that unchangeable person. And if, Father, if they're not going to change, then change us. Help us in uncontrollable circumstances. Help us to learn it's okay not to have control. And help us to be patient with those unexplainable problems. Those things that we'd love to figure out and just know why. Help us to have a long fuse that waits, knowing that we will understand by and by. Father, our patience has grown thin. Our patience has worn out. We need your divine gift. We need the fruit of your Spirit. But not because we are pursuing patience. We ask because we are pursuing your Son. So, Father, may we move closer to him so that we might look more like him in our life as we patiently serve you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Church, maybe you need some fruit, and not just the kind that's from Mott's. You need the divine gift that comes from God. That's why each week when we come together, we encourage those who have never been baptized into Christ to consider that. To consider confessing that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and confessing, yes, I want more than anything, I want God to be in control of my life. Our God has promised that those who are baptized not only receive his forgiveness, but they receive the gift of the Spirit. And as we become then more and more like Christ, that those gifts begin to show up more and more. Those mile markers we see, that love, joy, peace, and yes, even that patience. And so while you might have enjoyed some fruit here today, and it might have been a nice respite, there is nothing like the fruit that comes from God. And I pray that you will patiently enjoy it in the weeks and the months and the years to come. If you need to come before this church family, and as I said, say, yes, I'd love to be baptized, or if you'd like to talk with someone, we have one of our elders will be in our prayer room that's back in our lobby. You're welcome to go and just have some private time there. I've only got a few more things of fruit here left, but God has enough for everyone. So why don't you come as together we stand and give him praise.